Good morning, church.
Happy Sabbath. Please open your Bibles. Please open your Bibles to Psalms 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Wow, what a blessed service it's been so far this morning. I've already feel like I've partaken of the word of the Lord. I'm giving the benediction now. But good for you, we have some more gifts in store according to the word of the Lord, and that's amazing. And I don't know, I'm just overwhelmed with joy and excitement. It's like, I feel like I'm home again. It's just great to be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's exciting, and it's only a small taste of what we got to look forward to the next 2 weeks, where we get these great reunions, well, a great message first and foremost, but we have camp meeting, where we get to partake of a wonderful potluck, the best ever, I say. Each year I look forward to it, and that's such a wonderful thing. But you know what? That's another foretaste of what we get to look forward to when Christ returns, the great reunion. When we get to reunite with Jesus Christ and our loved ones that are going to look brand new. But guess what? We're going to recognize them, because through Christ, their character has been sealed and we get to be together forever. Amen. Amen. Wow. Seeing through the haze. So there's a couple of my close personal friends and family that have are familiar with what we're going to talk about today. So my challenge for them is to point out some of the couple changes that are in here, and we'll talk about that over lunch. But for those of you who have not heard this before, I pray that God will take us through here to help us see through the fog that can sometimes arise in life. Our scripture reading this morning really gives us exactly what Christ followed, right? The word of the Lord is the guiding post, is the guiding light to illuminate our path that sometimes is darkened by the chaos of the world. God has formed us, he has prepared us, and specially given us a divine purpose and a mission in our lives here on earth. And all one has to do is look to the word to see where that path goes. Christ learned from the word. He ate the word. He memorized the word. And when Satan assaulted him and tried to get him to go left and right and not depend on his father, he did what? Thus saith the Lord. So if it was good for Christ, it's good for me and you. Amen? So the question is, through our life's journey, there's times where we can't see where we should go, where we can't quite see the path or God's plan that he's had put before us. Or sometimes we make mistakes, or we make some bad choices that kind of steer us left or right. It might just be a little thing where we think that's not a big deal, but it ends up blowing up into, wow, how did I get this far? And it clouds our vision till we have that haze. You know, or sometimes pride pops up. And I love to use the example, and Celia can laugh, my wife, when a 20-minute drive turns into an hour adventure just because I didn't want to listen to where she said I should have gone. No, I got it. It's okay. I know where I'm going. 40 minutes later, now we're back to where we started. Pride pops up sometimes. So in our lives, that haze or that fogginess really crops up when we lack God's divine purpose, not only for us collectively, but individually. Your life and your experience is unique. What you have gone through is unique to your story, and God uses that for his purpose, special and unique for your life. So this morning, we're going to look at how to know our purpose. How can we know what God's plan, what the path is he has made us for? In order to do this, we're going to look at the call of the prophet Jeremiah. And I like to call him the young prophet because that's what he was described as. So to set the table, let's just think about just before Jeremiah's call, the kingdom of Judah had a young king come in. He was 8 years old, Josiah, right? And there was a brief reawakening. There was a smashing down of the idols, beginnings of a returning to the Lord. Unfortunately, it wasn't long lasting, and God's people rebelled again. And Jeremiah was called. So to set the stage, I would ask you to turn to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to spend some time here. Jeremiah chapter 1, in the first three verses I'd like to read here. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verses 1, 2, and 3. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, the priest who were born in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in those days of Jehoiakim, son of Joash, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem into captivity in the 5th month. You see, Jeremiah was called in the time of the end of the kingdom of Judah, just before destruction was going to sweep in, the ones that the prophets foretold. He had a message to bear, an unpopular message, and a message that wasn't seemingly fruitful to him, that was very difficult. Over the span of 40 years and four different kings, Josiah was called to minister. You know, just 100 years before then, the kingdom of Israel had been swept away by the Assyrians, and soon to fulfill prophecy, the Babylonians were rising and were coming to sweep away the last remnants of God's kingdom, seemingly on earth. What a challenging time to be called into ministry. What a challenging time it might seem for us to be called into ministry, to witness to others, to share and connect and relate to people their true source of happiness in life, Jesus Christ. And in a world that is without God or without morality, we talk about education. A brother was speaking this morning in schools where it's challenging. My wife's a teacher, and she can attest to the things that she can and cannot speak, but she finds a way to indirectly witness, because when Christ is in you, no matter what your words are, he pours out of every pore of your body. It's a sweet aroma. When Christ abides in you, it is attractive. There's a reason why the Bible portrays Jesus while he was on earth, and the children and the destitute and everyone, even the learned Pharisees for their own reasons, everyone was following after him. You couldn't help but to be attractive and to follow him, because he is the reason for everything. And he can abide in you and me, brothers and sisters. Amen. Back to our purpose this morning, we're going to focus on a few verses from the first chapter of Jeremiah, and I would just like to read along a few of them just to set the stage. And then from there, we're going to go through, and we're going to look at Jeremiah's call, how he was armed and equipped for his ministry, but how that relates to us in discovering the path God has for us, and what are the promises we can depend upon. Amen? So starting in the chapter 1 of Jeremiah, we're going to start in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved you." Wow. "And what? I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold." This is an interesting reaction. "I cannot speak, for I'm only a youth." So for those of you that are young here, that may have come up for the children's story, or those of you that are denying your youth and were a little too shy to come down for your children's story, God has given you words to speak, and age is not an excuse. Continuing in verse 7, "But the Lord said to me, say not, I'm only a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." What a promise. God was going to give him the words to speak. "Be not afraid of them, for I am with you." What a promise. "I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words into your mouth. Doesn't that remind you of when Jesus told us not to worry about if we're ever in prison or brought before the magistrates, the judges, or to whomever? Don't you worry, for in that moment, the Spirit shall bring to your remembrance exactly what to say. See, God has given us a chain of promises of his realities from the first book to the last book of his revelation in the Bible. It is consistent. And that same promise Christ gave to us that is transcribed and kept in the New Testament is also right here during Jeremiah's time. Amen? God does not change. Continuing in verse 10. See, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of the nations and of the kingdom to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Continuing in verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, and this is important, you have seen well, for I am alert and active and watching over my word to perform it. So if God promises it, he says what? I'm watching over my word to perform it. We're going to come back to that. And lastly, I just want to point out these last three verses, and then we'll get into the meat of this. Verses 17 through 19. So just thinking about it, just before that, God's talking about the pending destruction, how the Babylonians are going to come and are going to fulfill the prophecies, and the kingdom of Judah is about to be wiped away. And this is what he says to Jeremiah in verse 17. But you, gird up your loins, arise, and tell them all I command you. Do not be dismayed and break down at the sight of their faces, lest I confound you before them and permit you to be overcome. So he's saying, don't worry that everyone's against you. Don't be afraid. Completely depend upon me, and I will give you the words. Have anxiety and worry and be afraid. I will leave you to yourself. But no. Depend on me, and I will strengthen you. It's not you, it is me. God is promising to give him the words and the strength to overcome the entire nation, to deliver the message that needs to be given. For I, behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze walls against the whole land, against all the kings of Judah, against the princes, against its priests, against its people of the land. And they shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Imagine those odds, and what a stage that has been set. Jeremiah, with God Almighty, against the nation of Judah, its kings, its priests, its people, the ones to whom he must deliver this message, they'll all be stacked against him, but they shall not prevail, because God was with Jeremiah to give this message. So the question is, how old was Jeremiah when he was called to this task, a 40-year ministry against the world? Anyone know? It's 14s, I guess, 10, 11, 8, I have no idea, but the only thing that matters is that the Bible's clear that he was a youth. He was young. And if he was young, he was inexperienced, and that means that's right exactly where God wanted him to be, ready to be molded and to be set forth. But he was, you know what? He was called. And this is important. He was called. Think about the disciples. Did Jesus call the disciples? He did. Do you know during that time, do you know what disciples did? They would seek out their rabbi. They would observe their rabbis. They would watch them and then ask to be, if they found like that was the rabbi that they wanted to become. Because what you would do, you would be with your rabbi morning, noon, and night, all day and all night. You would watch them because the goal was to become that rabbi, to become just like him. That's what it meant to be the disciple. But Christ reversed it. He called them. Just as Christ called the disciples, God called Jeremiah, but it's the same with us. God calls us to follow him. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Just an example, I have two examples, one in Romans and then one in Peter. So if we go to Romans 1, 7, this is an example of Paul talking about this calling. Notice how he describes the fellow believers in Rome that he's writing to. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, to all God's beloved ones in Rome, called to be saints and designated for a consecrated life. Greetings and spiritual peace be yours from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. They're called. What did Peter have to say? Let's go over to 1 Peter 2:9. This is fascinating. This is not something we choose to do, but God has called us to be his chosen people, his chosen instruments. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I don't know how other people do this. I always mention this. How do you turn your Bible and speak at the same time without losing your spot? I don't know how they do it. I'm still praying the Lord can give me revelation on that. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfection of him who, what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Christ calls us. Christ gives our lives purpose. And it is he who gave all that is personally calling you to a special path. Not just the path of the church or the body of Christ to go forth and deliver a message, but a very particular path and calling for you that only you can fulfill. Just like Jeremiah was the one who was called to give that message, to endure 40 years of seemingly fruitless ministry, you have been called to reach someone. So we have this idea of being called. We have the general calling of preaching the word to all the nations that Christ may return. Amen? But there's also the specific task that sometimes gets blocked in the haze that's not quite clearly seen. So how do we see through this haze? Well, Jeremiah had a big haze about him with the 40 years of ministry with not much of an effect. Even Jonah, who didn't want to go to Nineveh, had an effect. It wasn't the effect he wanted. The message was received. But nevertheless, he saw an effect. But Jeremiah really didn't. He had, he had possibly two converts. But he had a special mission to plant some seeds, to give that last message to warning, whether the people were going to accept it or not. God has gave him and gives us a message to give to the world. Not only that is prophetic, but that has individual salvation, eternal consequence, and importance. It's a message that must be given, and there's a part that each of us has to play. There are people that have been placed in your lives that only you can reach. But I ask you, though, and this is interesting, what was it about Jeremiah's call that allowed him to persevere those 40 tough years? Could you imagine everywhere you go, just getting a, no, I'm good, and in fact, getting a hostile reaction everywhere you go, seemingly not having anyone giving you that acceptance? Where did he draw his strength from? And then from that, can we learn how to do the same in our lives? To come to the point where we decide that I'm only going to do what you want, Lord, not what I want. May your will be what I desire in my lives. How can we come to that point? Well, how do we know what God wants for us, what our path is? I would say, how about we start off with listening to God? Plain and simple. How do we listen to the Lord? You know, it's interesting. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4, verses 11, verses 13, you have something very interesting there. The Lord said to me, the word of the Lord. And you know, what do we have for the first time in history? We have the word of the Lord right here. It actually gets even better. You can have in something smaller. Anyone have one of those long rectangular things that make a lot of noise and that's very bright, probably keeps us up late at night, those phone things? Anybody got those? Can you hold up a couple of them? Anyone have them? How many versions of the Bible do you think you have access to on that thing? If you were to talk to someone from Jeremiah's time and try to explain the access you have to the word of the Lord that spoke to Jeremiah, how would you put it into words that they could understand? God speaks to us today just as clearly as he did to Jeremiah. in his word, and it's accessible and no one can take it away from us. And in fact, if you eat of that word, it's written on your heart. It goes everywhere you go. Listen to the word. Listen to God. How about number two? Now, what are we asking? What's the question? How do we know what God's path for us is for us, right? Number one, listen to God. Number two, stop making excuses. That one's for me. I'm the king of making excuses. You give me a situation, I'll give you an excuse for it. Sorry, God, but you inherited that from me. But think about it. What was Jeremiah's response to his calling? What was the very first thing he said? I'm too young. I don't know how to speak. I can't do it. Sounds like Moses, huh? It was someone else who said, I can't speak. And God was like, it's good. I got you. And got your brother right here. Don't worry about it. You see, weaknesses or excuses don't cut it with the Lord. Because guess what? He made Jeremiah for that task, and he made you and me for the task he's given us. Your experiences, your defeats, your struggles, all of that has equipped you for the situations and the path you're in today. You, through your trials and tribulations, can reach others who are coming to that same point. And you can only walk that bridge of shared experience if you had gone through the same thing. Why do you think we have just an amazing advocate in heaven? Jesus Christ, the one who walked the path before us, and everything that we're going through, he's already done it. It's one thing to say, do this, but it's another thing to say, follow me. He has formed you. God knew, not only knew Jeremiah, but he's known you. The hairs in your head are counted. He intimately knows you. And he formed you. We can't say, I can't do this, because he knows our weaknesses as well. And you know what weaknesses truly are? They're opportunities for Christ to come in to strengthen you, for we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And those aren't just words. Those are real promises. Yes, Jeremiah was young. Yes, he may not have been articulate. But God touched his mouth and gave him the words to speak. And God said, I will be active. I will watch over you. I will ensure that the words I gave you are fulfilled. And those promises that were true for Jeremiah in his day are true for us in this day. God has called us to help the hopeless, to love those who need love, to visit those that are shut in, and to stand up and give a prophetic last message, a message of hope, that we might be that bucket of water going into that one little cup. And guess what? It can flow onto another cup, onto another cup, onto another cup, onto another cup. God promises to abide in us and to fill us to overflowing. Why would we hold back? Why would we let excuses? Why would we not listen to God to be such a blessing to others? He has called us to do more. But even more than that, he's consecrated us. He's set us apart. You're the one who can reach your spouse, your best friend, your coworker, or maybe someone you haven't met. You might not see it now, but you have gone through what you have gone through to reach just that one person, just the same as Jesus Christ descended from on high, just to save you, if you were the only one that would accept him. He's appointed you. Jeremiah was appointed as a prophet to all the nations to give that message. As today, you have been appointed to be God's chosen ambassador, to join the royal priesthood, to begin today, this day, the rest of your lives. You know, brothers and sisters, we all have excuses. We all have things that pop up in our lives that get in the way. But let's put those things aside. I would like all of you just to think of one thing. The one time in your life where you felt the call of the Lord to do something. It could be big, it could be small, but the one time you were called to do something. For me, it was in 2001. I was called to get into ministry, but I made all the excuses like Jeremiah. I was definitely too young, too experienced, inarticulate, and a few years later, Those things are all true, but I believe that means I'm ready to be taught by God and by others. But what was something that has held you back in your walk? Think of that excuse. Write it down on a piece of paper or put it down in your digital notepad on your book. You might have an app or a text or whatever it is. Go ahead and do that now. Think about something you felt God has called you to do, but you allowed an excuse to get in the way, and I'll try not to break the pulpit. That'll keep you up, right? So I'm really serious. Write this down, physically or digitally, that excuse that blocked you from doing that thing God called you to do. And when you go home today, pray about it. Confess it to the Lord, not in terms of asking for forgiveness, but Lord, this is the thing that blocks me, my pride, my lust for things, my inability to depend on you, whatever it might be. Hold it up to God, ask him to remove it, and then throw that paper away or delete that digital excuse. Go ahead and write it down. I challenge you. Because I want you to remember this. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies. And I did it again. So we need to depend on three things, and we're closing with these three promises. So seeing through the haze, to cut through and see the path, we're going to use the word of God. Because his word is a lamp that lightens the darkness and allows us to see the path that he's made for us. And to do so, we are listening to God because God is here in his word. He speaks to us. We're going to take those excuses. We're going to put them to the Lord. And he's going to take them out of the way. And we will depend on God's presence. Because Jeremiah in verse 8 and in verse 19, God said, I am with you. And if he was with Jeremiah, if he was with Jesus Christ, Christ was with them as well as he is with us. That is our promise. God is with us. The power in verse 9 and verse 10, God touched the mouth of Jeremiah and gave him his words. Just as God gave Jeremiah the words, just as Christ had the word, is the word incarnate, Christ also abides in us and through his spirit gives us the words to speak. Lord, not me, but you speak through us. Depending on his presence, his power, and lastly, the promises. In verse 12, God promised that he's active. And he watches over his word and ensure his promises are fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, today I ask you, even though it might be hazy, it might be cloudy, you might not know what the path is God has set for you. Discover, reach out to God through his word. Put those blocking excuses to the side and depend on God's presence, for he is with you. His power, for that is limitless. And his promises, for where there are two and three, Jesus Christ is definitely in the midst. Amen? Amen. And our closing song this morning, our closing hymnal, will be 530, It Is Well With My Soul. we depend, if we know God is with us, if we know all power comes through him to overcome all our weaknesses, all our infirmities, and God promises never to leave us alone, no matter where the winds blow, the circumstances of life, no matter what happens to us, when Christ is with us, we can truly proclaim, it is well with my soul, for I have a Redeemer that I will meet face to face, and we will all be reunited together with him. Amen?
Amen.
Our Almighty Father, it is well in our souls. No matter where this world takes us, no matter where we've been, you have given us our Son. You have given him to us as a gift to humanity, to us individually, to have life, to be connected to the vine, to be able to feel and experience your love right now in this moment. There are no words to express what this means, but it is well in my soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.